Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it and must be 21 years or older.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Hope you had a great week of hot sports action, but that's in the rearview mirror. Let's look ahead, shall we, to the coming weekend of sports. It includes the NFL draft, baseball, NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's talk about all of it with our pal who's getting ready for the Tom Brady roast coming at you early in May. In the meantime, she's here to kibitz about all of it. The roastess with the mostest. It is Sarah Tiana. What's the poop, sis?
The poop is a lot. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on everywhere. And I'm happy to see you. I'm happy to see you and take
a
break.
Well, listen, you know, Tom Brady's a great place to start on draft Thursday, which is when we're recording here. Cause I do think I know everybody has heard his story. You know about him, right? Like he wasn't a first round pick. People went like the year that he was drafted, there was very little to, dare I say, zero buzz around Tom Brady. And here we sit 25 years later, you're writing a roast with a team of writers. He has a gaggle of writers cracking wise about him, against him, and all of that. And you only get that if you achieve greatness. And he has done that. And yet, I refer you back to 1999, the last millennium, Sarah Tiana. No one gave a crap about this guy. And yet, here we sit. Obsessively, like amnesiacs, worrying about Drake May or Jane Daniels. Maybe the answer is neither of the above, and it's a guy who's going to get drafted in the sixth round or be a free agent pickup. How say you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always it's a scratch-off ticket, right? Like,
right.
You really don't know how they're going to perform. I mean, obviously, they're all super talented, but it's also pairing them in the right system. And that's always the question. Like, are they going to the right place? Are they going to succeed with the team of coaches around them? You know, I mean, even think about Tom Brady's draft. Like, Chad Pennington was the first quarterback taken in that draft. And the Jets, you know, would he have been great? I always argue that, like, he looked really awesome because Randy Moss made him look really awesome. But that was only for a year, and then he kind of continued that kind of quote unquote dominance.
It's a fascinating point, but and it is what makes it so intriguing and vexing and frustrating and creates the ongoing obsession is stories like, I would say, Alex Smith, who goes off and languishes. He's the first overall pick in front of Aaron Rodgers. And that's kind of the story, is like, this guy's a bust in San Francisco. And maybe the other kid should have been the one taken. And we have to wait on that. And I dare say that it would have been even worse for Alex Smith had Aaron Rodgers started from day one and dominated from day one with the Packers. He had to wait a little bit. But nevertheless, people were bummed out if you were a Niners fan about the way Alex Smith, the first overall, was playing when you had the Bay Area kid there and Aaron Rodgers, who you could have taken and you didn't. But then they changed coaches. They didn't change, you know, he didn't move scenery, as they say, or anything else. They just swapped out Mike Singletary for Jim Harbaugh. And then all of a sudden the guy was a good quarterback. That's what makes you crazy, is that you don't know, even after a year, or in some cases, 3 years, whether or not the guy's going to work out. But I will say this, Tiana, and I do want to talk to you about Matt Ryan, who was the third overall pick, of course, and I assume looms large in your sports fandom, about as large as anybody in football, right? Is that that he plays
in my
role? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in my world, I would say he's probably one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time. I mean, 4,000 yards a year. You can't. I mean, I think Kyle Shanahan kind of robbed him of the Hall of Fame in that Super Bowl. But I do think that his numbers are incredible, and his lifetime QBR is like incredibly high. It's right up there with all the other Hall of Famers. So just because
your answer is no.
But it's not his fault that we lost the Super Bowl.
But he's not going to the Hall of Fame.
I think he might eventually, but I don't think he's a first ballot guy. But I like that he retired as a Falcon. And if he goes, he'll go in as a Falcon. And I think that's the best way to look at it.
That's right. That's nice. See, some people slough that off. People like Eddie Spaghetti there behind the glass in Staten Island. I think it's great when a guy plays his entire career for one team. Shame the devil. Maybe he never wins at all, but it's still a cool thing to have going for you. Here's the reminder, and I'm not trying to play curmudgeon for everybody, but just trying to provide a little bit of reality here. And of course, Tom Brady does all the heavy lifting on that. But just in case he doesn't, that it is not all important what happens in the first round of this draft in the quarterback league. We do have to kind of look at it. As I say, the I hate to use the phrase cognitive dissonance because I feel like it's pretentious to do so, but I'm going to use it here. We obsess about this. And yet we also know about the image of Tom Brady in his underpants. But beyond that, let's go through the best quarterbacks in the NFL real quick here, Tiana. Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's one of the best, right? I mean, you're absolutely right. It's based on the context of the aforementioned Kyle Shanahan and the system, but we still would call him one of the better performing quarterbacks in the league. And he was Mr. Irrelevant, right?
I think that's correct, because I think the players, even on the practice squad, were saying that, like, this guy's doing things that are magical. Like, he's
completely missed on him, though. Right.
Completely okay, right.
The cynic can point to the fact that no one saw this coming and everything else and all of that. But that's the crux of the matter, right? Like, how did this industry within an industry, which is draft analysis, completely collectively miss on Brock Purdy? It's one thing to point at a guy that came around in 1973. We're in the 21st century, and everyone and their mother is busy doing their dumb mock drafts as though anybody asked you to. Everybody thinks it's their minimum requirement if they're participating on social media, apparently. Just to let you all know, here's my mock. This isn't a 50-50 thing, everybody. Yes, binary conversations are interesting about, like, here's why I think that team's going to beat the other team. This is not that. This is just speculative dart throwing, and everybody feels like they have to get in on this when we know there are a million trades about to happen. Who gives a crap about your thing? There are a small handful of people who know what they're talking about. Let's all focus on them. I'm sorry. I'm very cynical and mean-spirited today. But to continue, Dak Prescott. People obsessing about what's his future in Dallas or beyond. And if he hits the market, people are going to be all over it. Fourth round pick, Josh Allen. Okay, top 10 pick, but went behind two other guys. And there were a lot of people who said, Josh Allen has no chance in this league. He's too wild, so on and so forth. Here he is as a perennial MVP candidate. Speaking of MVP candidates, Lamar Jackson was the fifth guy taken. Yeah, fifth rounder, but behind Josh Rosen and others. And at the back end of the first round, almost as an afterthought, and again, people didn't know if he was going to be able to ever beat out Joe Flacco and all of that, here he is as the reigning MVP. Justin Herbert, the third guy taken. Yeah, a specimen, a stud, but still went behind Tua. And Stafford, okay, he's the real deal. Kirk Cousins, what was he, a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick? I don't know. He was drafted to play backup to RG3. Here he is making as much money as anyone's ever made in the sport of pro football. Mahomes is obviously great, but, again, went behind Mitchell Trubisky. Complete swing and miss by the draft analysts out there who were all just hanging on. What do they think? They're the ones who thought that Mitchell Trubisky was the better option to Patrick Mahomes. You have Jordan Love out there. A lot of skepticism around him. And so it goes. And I'm just listing. This is all off of QBR. Those are the top 10 I just went through. And how many did I cite that you knew were definitely going to make it in the league? Guys like Trevor Lawrence are way down there at 17. Baker Mayfield. Field the first overall of the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, a nice bounce back of a career, but he's 18th. The point is, this is largely a crapshoot, and yet we're just wringing our hands and worrying about it and debating. No, but my mock draft says Jaden Daniels is better than Drake May. Based on what? You don't know what you're talking about, and don't even get me started about these about the randos who are weighing in on Fuaga versus Funaga. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. How say you, Tiana?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously ridiculous. I thought what Michael Penix said this week in his statement and his like letter to the league is like, you know, you can do all the MRIs you want, but you really only need my EKG. And I think that is really a statement to, like, maybe we're overlooking determination and heart and drive and competitiveness, you know, and you know, it's also like, I'm not a JJ McCarthy fan, but there is something about just like his then approach to everything, which is just like, I'm not really rad. It's very Eli Manning-esque, where you're like, well, this is a guy that's just chill and he's not going to get rattled and the media can ask him whatever they want. He's just like pretty, like just even keeled. Like, you know how Tom Brady used to take naps before big games? Like, I think that says a lot about like, he's a super competitive guy, but he's also like really comfortable in the moment. And so I think you have to look at that. But I do think that it is really just a flip of the coin if they're going to get paired with the right offensive coordinator, the right coach, the right quarterback coach, the right system, the right ownership, you know, people that will like let it breathe, let them incubate behind somebody and learn the speed. The speed of the game is something that's really important. You know, it's why so many pitchers have trouble coming out of college and it takes them a long time in the minors because they're going from 7 days rest to five. And to me, a QB coming into the league, you know, that hasn't seen the kind of defense that these quarterbacks normally see, is really the challenge.
It's also, I think you're right about that. What you're getting at is the much ballyhooed intangibles. And because they're intangible, we can't grab them. Mm-hmm. And so what we grab onto are 40 times and observations and measures of arm strength and so on and so forth. But none of those matter unless I think the minimum standard guy that I'll throw out here is like Case Keenum. He's just not, he doesn't have the dimensions to be a franchise QB for the long haul. But if you're talking about like JJ McCarthy, if he, let's establish him as sort of a minimum standard of qualifications, you don't get in to Michigan. You don't go and play. You don't get recruited to play QB at a Big Five school if you don't have the physical requirements to get to that point. So, okay. So if we assume that you're good enough to just get to that point, then it becomes the crapshoot that we're talking about and you can't measure it. And that's why it will always be a 50-50 proposition until they figure out some way to like have everybody, instead of running 40s as though that matters for a quarterback anyway, that some sort of eye test, like here's the defense you're seeing, where's the ball go right here? In that circumstance, you're at the line of scrimmage. Here it is. Like put on the VR headset, QB student athlete, and here's the defense that you're seeing here. So where's the ball go here? If that's what you're seeing, you know, like that processing is all that matters, really. Not all that matters, but as long as you, like I say, meet that minimum standard, that's the measure of greatness in the NFL, right?
I would say so, because I mean, I think even historically, like, you do need to be a certain size anymore to be a quarterback. And, you know, the rub on Kyler Murray before he came in was like, he's really small. Oh, but he's fast, you know, or like Bryce Young, he's really small. Oh, but he's fast. You know, like your guy with the small hands, is that a factor? Like, you know, people constantly talk about what these quarterbacks can do. I don't think that is talked about enough about what they can't do. And I think that should maybe weigh on a little bit to just like, how does that translate into the game? Like, you do have to see over the offensive line. You do have to get the ball up. You don't want a lot of tipped balls. Those lead to interceptions. You know, does Kyler Murray have less interceptions if he can get the ball over the line? Does Bryce Young have less interceptions if they're not batted down, you know, and caught? So, you know,
it is though the common thread, though. I hear what you're saying, but it, like, Josh Allen is spectacular in one way and Lamar Jackson is spectacular in similar but also different ways. But the common thread with the guys who win the Lombardis, and it's easy to dismiss of being in the right system and has the best team around him and all that. But what are the common threat? What's the common thread for Brady and Peyton and now Mahomes and the guys who are recurringly in the big game and have won it, you know, more than once or whatever? What is it? And it's funny because like Roethlisberger is not a guy like, you know, pre-snap figure it all out guy, but for the most part, it's like above the neck kind of stuff. Now I sound like one of these weirdo old guy draft analysts. It doesn't matter. What's above the neck is much more. But it is. It's like instinct is what you keep hearing about is, you know, it's almost like you could find the next generation a great quarterback by finding who's best at Madden, you know, on some weird level. It's the marriage of who's good at Madden, but also has that, you know, who's at least 6'2 and can throw it a little bit, you know, doesn't have has an arm better than Damashek and is taller than Tiana. Like, as long as you meet those minimum requirements, if you're good at Madden, you should be good at I'm blathering now because I'm trying to figure it all out. But
didn't the Panthers trade their first pick this year? And would they have been the first overall pick this year? Or is that
right, Eddie Spaghetti? I don't remember if that's how it went, because then they get Houston uses
Houston was one and then they swapped.
Wasn't Stroud
Stroud went two
the extra pick, or was Will Anderson technically the extra pick that the Texans
Will Anderson left? Was the extra pick, right?
Okay. The Texans and Panthers do not have a pick in this first round.
Right.
Oh. Okay, yeah. So yes. Right.
But the Texans traded up to get Will Anderson. They used the pick that the Panthers gave them, I think, right? To go up. I don't remember, but I'm just saying that, like, it's very interesting that, like, you risk it all last year when you had arguably traded away a great receiver to get your guy for the future. Whereas, like, you look at this round of quarterbacks and you go, wow, it's so stacked. You could have just waited and had a guy this year.
It feels that way almost every year now, though. It feels that way 4 out of 5 years at least.
Yeah.
So, okay, it sounds like the Falcons. We don't know what's going to be, but it sounds like the Falcons have identified, or if again, after I just diminish all the mock drafts and everything, it does seem like the collective opinion is Dallas Turner. Is that the way you see it to the Falcons?
Yeah,
but,
yeah, I see that. I mean, everybody just assumes that we and we do need an edge, and we do have a coach that's a defensive coordinator. So I would assume that we would go defense and then maybe trade back up late in the first round to get a quarterback like a Bo Nix, a Penix. I mean, I hear a lot about Spencer Rattler, like he keeps, you know, visiting, they keep meeting with him, you know. But again, I feel like if that's the right choice for us, but there's a reason I'm not paid to make those decisions.
Yeah, maybe later on. It feels like, again, who knows what the smoke screens versus sincere observations, but it sounds to me like Rattler is going to drop down to the third round, maybe even the fourth. The QB needy teams will either try to get one in the first, or then there's going to be a second wave, but I don't think it's going to be a second round kind of thing for someone in Rattler's position.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here. You know, when the conversation turns stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Okay, but Sarah Tiana, instead of Dallas Turner, let's say it's Sarah Tiana who's draft eligible. First of all, are you going to the draft or are you staying at home and having your loved ones come to you? Or are you going to the home of one of your loved ones?
I'm going to the draft and I don't care if I drop to the fourth round. I stay in that room. I don't care. I say
You're sleeping on the floor at night.
I think that said a lot about Will Levis last year that he stuck around. You know what I mean? Like, I wish he would have come back the next day because it's like I said I was coming and I'm going to be here until I get taken. And like I'm committed to the team. I don't care how you make fun of me, that I'm overlooked, I'm passed over. He proved that he was a really great quarterback and he deserved to be there and his commitment to the Titans last year. And I think that that says a lot. And if I'm going to get drafted in the NFL, I want the full experience. I want to shake Goodell's hand. I want to put the hat on. I want the whole thing to, I don't want like 32 hats at my house that I have to decide to put on. Like, then I'm just like looking at all the places that I don't want to go. And okay, like,
first of all, you get your name called and you walk out to see Goodell. Are you doing the high hand clasp and the rocking back and forth with him, little dance that he likes to do?
I'm hugging. I'm giving a hug. You're Southern. We give hugs. I give hugs.
Chest bump.
What are you going to do?
Jumping chest bump. Oh, I don't go. Hug. I don't go. As we've discussed, I have self-esteem issues. Do you think I would deal well if I was like the last guy or one of the second to last sitting there with my whole family there because of me, how bad I would feel about having caused this and everybody would feel sad for me. Everybody around the family, like, it's okay, Davey. Don't worry, Dave. Come on. They'll take you tomorrow and it'll be a better. I might be crying by the end of the draft. That would be bad. No one would want me sitting there. I mean, people are upset with Caleb Williams for crying about losing a game. If I were sitting there crying because nobody had drafted me yet, that would also probably ding my, you know, I'd probably drop a round in the draft at least because of my tears, right?
Say I'm Michael Penix, okay. Right? This year. And there's rumors that I could drop to the second round, that I could move up. I don't care. I go and I tell my family, hey, I might not get drafted till the third round, but I'm going to be here. You can come with me if you want, but this is my moment. You didn't get drafted in the NFL. I'm getting drafted in the NFL. I'm going to be here and you can choose to wait with me or you can stay home. I'll come by myself. I don't care. I'm here. I'm committed to football. I'm committed to the league. I'm excited about playing. And I'm going to show that excitement by showing up. I think it's cool that Caleb's going to be there.
Well, and your family also, you to some degree, you can hold them hostage, right? Like with this sort of thing, like, hey, Seth, I know you. You're going to want money in about 3 years. And in success, I'm going to have some. But you're not going to sit with me. You're not going to sleep on the draft room floor with me. because I didn't get taken in the first round. Screw. You're not getting any. Mm-hmm. You're not getting a dime out of me down the line, Seth. Never liked you any.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't have any Seths in my family, but my dad would be there for four rounds if he got free drinks. So he would come for sure. Yeah. And he's my biggest fan. I mean, even at my shows, he like waits next to the thank you line. And he's like, I'm Sarah's dad. You know, like it took years for me to get my parents to not sit in the front row. So, you know, I think you have a great support system. I think that shows that you have a great support system around you. I think it shows all of your character based on like who's there, how long they stay, how chill they are. And if there's free drinks in the green room, I'll be there for 4 days. I don't care.
All right. By September, if not August, you're going to get to erase this for the fan base. But in the short term, at least, what you say, your first remark to Falcons Nation is going to be meaningful. People are going to react to it, pivot off of it, decide whether or not they want to buy your jersey, all that kind of stuff. Hey, here's Dave. I'm here with the Falcons first round draft pick of 2024, Sarah Tiana. Sarah, what are the Falcons? Let everybody know back there in Georgia. What's everybody getting? What are the Atlanta Falcons getting in drafting Sarah Tiana this year? What's your statement here? What are you telling everybody to get excited about?
I would say that you're getting talent, commitment, and a good time. Like, we're going to have fun. My media, my press conferences are going to be chill. Time. Like, you can ask me questions all you want. You can do the heart thing and I'll just like throw that back at you and roast you. Like, no, like this is football. It's a fun game. It's supposed to be fun. People make it not fun all the time. And at the end of the day, like I want to win. I'm going out there to win and compete, but we're also here to have fun because it's a game.
Are you doing the Nuke Lelouch thing of just Crash Davis taught him in Bull Durham? Are you just throwing out a bunch of cliches like, hey, I'm going to get in there and get better each and every day. And I'm going to learn from the like all that kind of talk. Or are you just going to shoot your mouth off?
No, I'm self-deprecating. I'll be like, I suck today. Okay. I suck today. And like, and if the receiver's the one that dropped the ball, I was like, well, I should have put it in his hands better. Like, it's not his fault. I sucked. I didn't do great. But all I can do is be better tomorrow. If there is a tomorrow, if I don't get cut, but we'll see. Nice. I'm not the one signing the checks.
Smart.
But my money's guaranteed. So if I get fired,
one of my favorite conversations was one of my favorite conversations was talking to TJ Hockenson 20 minutes after he got drafted and laughing about how funny it would be if he got cut in his rookie camp as a first round draft pick. He didn't think it was as funny as I did, but I was tickled about it. I told him, but if he made the team, then he would think about it and then laugh. I also think that it's important to anyone listening to this show, if you're waiting in the final minutes before you hear your name called out in this first round tonight, is like, don't seem desperate and answer the phone on the first ring, right? I mean, like, if it's the owner, you don't like, oh, hello. Like, no, that's pathetic, right? You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that in front of your mom and your agent and everybody else. You just want to come off as breezy, right?
Yeah. That's a really interesting take. Like, I'll let it ring a few times. Make them. It's like, I mean, they already want you. Like, they're the ones that are desperate, not you.
Yeah, you kind of like that's how you want to answer the phone. Like, I don't know. Women never and girls never courted Dave. I'm sure you'll be stunned to learn that, Sarah. but you probably did. Did you have any rules for answering the phone when it was a gentleman suitor? Because I think that's the way you answer the phone if you're a first round draftee. You want to like the GM or the owner to find you in a really happy and fun spot. Like, I'm breathing. I don't even care if you draft me kind of vibe, right?
I think maybe in my 20s I was like that. But then in my 30s, like, I was just like, yeah, let's get to it. You know what I mean? Like, I hated when guys would text you like, how's your day? I'm like, it's good. Like, if you're not going to call me, if you're not going to ask me out, like, I'm not going to get to know you over text. Like, we can go out, we can have a drink. You don't have to have dinner. Like, let's just go have a drink, see if we vibe. And if we don't, it was nice to meet you. I also, my voicemail for, since like, when did, a staffer get drafted 09. Anyway, it said, you've reached Sarah Tian and Matthew Stafford. Please leave a message. And that's how I would weed men out. Because if they leave me a voicemail and be like, oh, I didn't know you had a roommate, I'd be like, well, it was nice to meet you. Like, if you don't know who Matthew Stafford is, there's nowhere else for us to go.
Yeah, now that's something we've lost. Bennett. Now that we don't have voice machines anymore, yeah. You can't prank call anybody anymore. It's a lesser society. that's exactly right. That, you know, you want, like, if it's Mike Tomlin on the phone, you want Tomlin catching you like in the middle of an awesome, hilarious conversation, like ring. Mike Tomlin's like real serious. Just imagine him with that serious mind, like, I'm going to make this young man's lifetime right now. Going to set him up for his life. He's going to become a Pittsburgh Steeler, but you're going to be like, ring. Hey, wait, who's that? Yeah. Mike, Kaya, you know, like that.
Mike, who?
That's
Mike,
how you want to be. You don't want to be like, hello? Yes, sir. Yo, I'd be thrilled to be a Pittsburgh. You don't want to be that guy, right?
It would be fun to just be like, hello. And then they're like, Sarah, like, let me get up. And then I'm like, is Sarah speaking? You know, like, who's this? Mike, who? Oh, Tomlin. Yeah, heard of ya. Sure. What's right. up? So, what are you doing? You hanging out? Like,
what you doing?
Fun. You're drafting fun. You're not drafting talent with me. You're drafting fun. You want a That's clubhouse right. guy? That's what you get.
Okay. I like right. it. Now, if you want to make any bold proclamations or predictions for the draft, this is the time to do it. Otherwise, I want to turn to baseball quickly before we call it a good night.
I have no idea what's going to happen tonight. Good I'm hoping you. I'm cheering for chaos. That's what I'm cheering for. It's a TV show. I want there to be drama and chaos. It's fun.
The desire to be right. I get it. Obviously, yeah. It's sports, but it's weird. I feel like we've gone a little bit too far with trying to divine what is ultimately unknowable. I mean, what is your, I'm really hung up on the mock drafts the last couple of weeks. I can't believe because to me, it is like, we are peaking all the, when I talk all the time about the narcissism of the 21st century created by social media and beyond, I think it is all peaking with mock drafts. Like, you don't need to do a mock draft. You're not an expert on it. You don't know anything about it. And by the way, the people who are actually going to be doing it on Thursday night and beyond are going to be making trades yeah. with one another. So it really has no value. Like, after the first pick, who knows what in crap's going to happen? It has zero value except your own vain, weird, like, I need the world to know this in case who I say is going at number 23 actually goes at number 23, so I can point to it. I think that's motivation to do it.
The Commanders have a chance to do the funniest thing. And like, with the second pick in the NFL draft, the Washington Commanders select Harrison Meavis, kicker, Missouri.
Nice. Like, yes. That would be best.
But they won't do it.
You know what else would be good when they call you? Like, oh, you want me on your team, Falcons? Like, you couldn't do this with the Steelers because they have too much history. But like, one of the teams that's never won a Super Bowl, as a for instance, you could be like, I'm only coming to town if it's, especially it's a quarterback in the QB league, specifically our nation's capital. If you're Jaden Daniels or Drake May, and you get drafted to our nation's capital, and it used to have a rich history and they won Super Bowls, but now they call themselves the Commies in our nation's capital. Shame the devil that we do this. What if you're Drake May and you go like, I'm only signing if we become the Washington Drake Mays? How say you? Right? I mean, that's
great idea.
And they would have to sign it. They would have to say, okay. And then this starts a whole new era of like the best player on the team has the whole team named after him.
I think I like that idea. I think he could also demand hot water in the showers, like stuff that they don't have as well.
Good thinking. Yeah. Hold out for the important stuff. I think if I know my history as not draping themselves in glory with this, but I think the Cleveland, the the Guardians,
mm-hmm.
who used to be the Indians, who used to be the Spiders, I think. I think they changed their name. Maybe it was a different franchise, but there was the Cleveland Spiders baseball team. But then they became the Cleveland Indians, and I think they became the Indians because their best player was a Native American. I think that's true.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Right. Why not in the 21st century? Why not? Like, if you're LeBron James, be like, you want me to make one last stop, NBA? All right, wherever I go, the Cleveland LeBrons. I mean, that's how I would do it. And now a quick break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Speaking of baseball a little bit here, I know you're paying attention, and congratulations on your Braves riding the ship and dominating and all of that. It must be pretty dispiriting if you're the Miami Marlins.
Mm.
We're not out of the month of April yet, and they're 12 and a half back.
Yeah, it's just like them, the White Sox, like it's not fun to see teams struggle like that, to not have some sort of competitive balance. It's not fun. I mean, it's also hard to play those teams because it's hard to play down. Like, I think the Braves lost 2 out of 3 in Oakland last year, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of hard. Like, any given day, you know, any team is good. That's baseball, Susan. Like, whatever you want to say. Like, it's not exactly easy to play down sometimes, and like, you're just like half in because you're like, oh, this team, you know, like this isn't really someone that we're competing against. You know, if we saw them, it would only be the World Series. And like, what are the chances of that? And so you're just kind of half in, and it's not fun.
It's fun. Yeah, you're right. It's weird that, you know, I always talk about that too, that, you know, baseball, the margin between the best and the worst is a lot narrower than it is in the other sports. It's a weird place to start, though. 162 games, and everybody, the most expert of experts, will tell you it's like 60. You're guaranteed when the season starts, 60 wins, 60 losses. It's what you do with those other 42 that matters. That's a mm-hmm. weird place to start with your sport and trying to sell it to the masses. Like, most of it doesn't really matter. Most of it's not really critical at the end of the day. As far as that goes, though, the Marlins stink real bad. But is America, is the world at large paying attention fully to what's going on with the Pale Hose right now? Do you know what they're on pace to do? They're on pace to go 21-141. That would be bad.
That would be, I don't know what you mean by Pale Hose.
The White Sox?
Oh.
The Chi Sox, Comiskey's own, the Southsiders.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, it's not even just offensively, like they're making defensive blunders and like, you know, balls are falling between them in the outfield. It's like, you could tell that they're half in too. And that's gotta be really, it's gotta be so hard to play on those teams. It takes so long to get on a baseball team. It's not like NFL or NBA where you play like a year or two in college and then you're in a professional sport. Like, you get drafted out of college, you're still, even the best player, Paul Skeens, and, you know, is still in the minors, like working up his arm. You know, Jackson Holliday just came up and he's got 2 hits and he might get optioned back down. Like, it's, you know, he's 20 years old. He's like, you know, half a Justin Verlander right now. Like, it's just like, that's like kind of unheard of. It normally takes you 3 to 4 years to get up
That's
there.
Right. Right. You could be the Pittsburgh Pirates, as a for instance, have Bailey Falter this year, who's 27 years old, and he's finally starting to get some regular starts. Had a few with the Phillies, but I mean, 27 years old, was drafted forever ago. I think about that kind of thing. It's always like residing somewhere in the back of my head when I'm watching a baseball game, because it's sort of like our mutual pal Carolla. Used to always say, you know what you want? What you want in this business, being show business? In show business, the sweet spot is the Suzanne Somers, Patrick Duffy Friday night sitcom. He used to always talk about that, and I can never remember the name of it. But either way, they had that sitcom that ran for 9 or 10 years. You get paid, you know, you get paid,
forever.
A lot of money for doing that, because it's a network TV show and all that, and the residuals from repeats and all of that. And yet, as Carolla pointed out, like, no one ever watched that show. Probably little kids did somewhere, but nobody watched that show. And they made a mint off of it. That's what you want. But if you're a Major League Baseball player, it must be weird. Like, I'm watching, you know, the Pirates and Brewers play on a random Tuesday night, and it looks like at the start, at first pitch, it looks like there are 27 people not counting the players. Paid attendance, about 27 to 32 ish people, if I'm getting that right. Like, when you run out there, are you like, this is Major League Baseball? This sucks. I thought this was going to be awesome. Or are you like, I'm living the dream?
But are you noticing too that like I was watching the Guardians Red Sox highlights last night, and there was nobody in the Guardians stadium. The Guardians are the best team in baseball right now. And but everyone's wearing like beanie hats and scarves and like gloves. Like, it's so cold. We're in like experiencing this cold front that hasn't helped either. So it's not just like, you know, it's, I think a lot of it has to do with the weather, but it's not the excuse for Miami for sure.
it must be again, to go back to where we started, cognitive dissonance must be weird. It's like, I am at the highest level of people and I make millions of dollars. This is great. It is a $1 billion industry. TV, we're on in TV in at least two big American cities. Let's go play ball. And you run out and they're like,
well, to be fair,
like, what the hell?
Nobody on the Pirates is making millions of dollars.
That's true. They make like 40, 60 bucks a week, each one of them.
But they get free sunflower seeds. So that's exciting.
That is nice. All right, Tiana, that's it. We flapped our gums enough. Now you got to go crack wise for Tom Brady and make him look good. Are you going to get into Matt Ryan at all? Because that's close to home for you. And of course, that's a major chapter in his legacy, Tom Brady and Matt Ryan's, like you say. Are you going to get into 28-3 at all?
I mean, it's definitely going to get brought up. It's not been brought up in any of the jokes that I wrote, but we're trying to get Matt Ryan to come. I don't know if he's, I think he's been invited. I don't know if he's accepted yet, but yeah, love to give him one line at least, just to like,
it's so fun to think about. And I'm sure this, I mean, like the entire Tom Brady NFL story revolves around, like, I can take these Lombardis away from you. You know, Robert Alford running down the sideline at the end of the first half after pick sixing Brady. Was that like, you felt like, that's it? Like, I mean, this is the Falcons aren't just going to win. The Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are going to lose a Super Bowl and get whipped by the Atlanta Falcons. And those, the Falcons are wearing those uniforms, and that's who's going to take you out. I remember. Yeah. But, you know, then again, if Wes Welker catches that ball, you can give Lombardi one back. And that back and forth of Lombardi counting is fascinating. And as I've said a million times before, if Archie and Olivia don't meet at Ole Miss, then there's no Peyton and Eli. And if there's no Peyton and Eli, Brady has double digit Lombardis. Do with that what you will.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get into that. I'll write that down as soon as I leave here. Okay, yeah. Good. Right away. Thanks.
All right. There she goes, and here we go to Sarah Tiana. Enjoy the draft. I hope all your Falcons dreams come true. I'm sure the Braves are going to be on the other side of the weekend, sitting atop the NL East, so you have something to watch my Pirates murkier I'm kind of just waiting it out till September.
You guys are going to be great. Yeah. And good luck to you in your draft tonight as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's nice. It's we're nice people. We wish each other well with the draft, with what strangers are going to do to impact the next 5 to 10 years of our lives. And we're hanging on the edge of their seat. And when we hear that name called, we won't know if they're going to positively or negatively impact our lives for the next 5 or 10 years. Fascinating stuff. All right. There she goes, Sarah Tiana. And here we go too, Eddie Spaghetti. Best wishes to your Knickerbockers and to your Rags. Best to Kevin Hench and his Celtics and Bruins. And best to all of you with whoever you're rooting for. I hope they win unless they're playing my team. Spoiler alert, my teams aren't playing very much right now outside of baseball. But do go back and listen to me and Kevin Hench talk about the greatest draft in the history of people, not just the NFL, but all sports drafts. The 1974, we're celebrating the black and golden anniversary of the 1974 Pittsburgh Steelers draft on -3. We did that earlier in the week. We have another episode coming for you after round one to kind of break it down for you there. And we started things off again with Kevin Hench at the start of the week. Go back and listen to that. Listen to Trendy, Eddie Spaghetti, and Toby Mergler, Lemon Pepper Parlay, all the rest of it. We'll talk to you on the other side of the sports weekend. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a Thin Slice of Heaven.